This is The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 365. In this podcast, I'm going to give you an example of how the government protects your rights and an example of how government actually interferes with your rights. And I also want to ask people how they feel about free trade. President Obama has been asking for fast-track authority for something called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal. I'm going to talk about that. Oddly enough, Republicans are backing the president. Harry Reid and other Democrats threatened to derail this. So it's very interesting to watch what's going on in Washington in terms of the predictability of people with D's and R's in front of their names. And aren't you glad that the IRS has taken steps to stop persecuting political groups? So we'll talk about all this stuff in this podcast, Podcast 365, the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. Sometimes I crack myself up. If you could hear the weird noises that I make when I make fun of myself when I do these podcasts, one of these days I'm going to have to do a whole podcast where I just let you hear some of the outtakes because I crack myself up. I crack myself up all the time, but anyway, you know, usually I was just thinking, I was making fun of myself because sometimes I'll start a statement by saying, well, and I just hate that. Well, I hate that. So I'm really trying to break myself of that habit. And the reason I was saying, well, it was a transition from, from the sort of open part of the podcast where I'm just telling you what I'm going to talk about to talking about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Now, it is getting really great. The weather is fantastic in the upper Midwest right now in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Tonight, I think, was the first cloudy, rainy night that I've seen in quite a while. We had a thunderstorm Sunday night, but it didn't really do anything. So I've either been on the deck or in the mobile podcast command unit, and I'm used to being actually outside doing the podcast outside instead of doing it here in the studio. So it's just weird. It's a complete reversal of where I used to be more comfortable here than I was outside, and now I'm all screwed up. So, you know, I went to the RV park and fired up the mobile podcast command unit today to charge up the batteries. And I couldn't, I was just like, I think I'm going to load up and head out. But I decided not to. Anyway, the weather's great. We're still at that point where it's a little wet. You know, June and May can be wet up here. And so I can't go out on the flat by the broadcast bunker and have a real fire. I got to have the origami fire up in the deck. But anyway, you don't care about all that. It's funny because I was talking to Greg Ryan the other day and I said, you know, what do you want me to say in your commercial, your personal endorsement spot in the podcast? And he said, tell people that we need to check their AC to get ready for the global warming summer, which inevitably will come. What does that mean? Well, it means it's going to get hot. And honestly, I think this summer is probably going to be a really hot summer for us, which means you want to make sure your air conditioning works. A lot of times they have to clean the coils. They have to check the filters, lots of things like that. And it has to be at least 70 degrees to have Ryan come and check your AC. So this is a good time to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating to check the AC. It's also a good time to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating if you are in the process of putting on a new room. I know interest rates are really low right now, so lots of people are borrowing money to build bathrooms and things of that nature. So Ryan is great for that. And if you're putting in a basement room or something to that effect, as I've mentioned a couple of times, ask them about in-floor heat, which is really cool when it gets cold again. You'll be down in your basement enjoying the fire, but also enjoying the heat emanating up out of the floor. It's really, really something. And they can also put it in garages too. So Ryan Plumbing is the place to go for that and for emergency service. So get the AC checked. If you're doing some work, call Ryan for that. And in emergency situations, water heaters or plumbing situations, Ryan does great emergency work. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 metro-wide from St. Paul. And that, of course, means the suburbs too. On either side of the river for four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, and in-floor heat. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. Once again, one more time, the numbers for emergencies or whatever at Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771, or in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. 38 Metro Wide from St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. So first, the government protecting our rights. It was very interesting this weekend when the story broke that the Islamic State, well, we didn't know at the time it was the Islamic State. They have since claimed responsibility for the attack in Garland, Texas, on a Draw Muhammad art exhibit of some kind. And people were incensed. There were all kinds of complaints, but the people that put the event together made sure that they spent extra money for security because they expected an attack. And two knuckleheads did end up attacking, and they were killed by a traffic officer who apparently was a pretty good shot and killed them both with apparently headshots. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for, I guess, what you could call an attack in Garland, Texas. It didn't last very long, and they didn't hurt anyone other than the police. Well, it was a security guard that was shot in the leg. IS says now that they have 71, not 70, not 69, not 54, but 71 warriors in the U.S. and five targets, which, you know, I clicked on the story on Drudge that talked about the five targets that they supposedly claim, but they never said which five targets they were. Now, I've said for years that asymmetric attacks on civilians, in other words, two idiots with automatic rifles or whatever you want to call them, I hate to even refer to them as semi-automatic rifles because, you know, anybody who knows anything about guns knows it's a ridiculous statement. But rifles, heavy weapons, let's say, attacking civilians who can't defend themselves is very, very dangerous. And I've said for years, people need to be ready for this kind of an attack. We're all in danger from two idiots with rifles unless the government protects our rights, our right to say, to sing, to say what we want, to write what we want, to draw what we want, even if it includes drawing Muhammad. I mentioned a single officer shot both of these two knuckleheads in the head. Both are dead. My favorite comment about the whole story was the mother of one of them, and I won't even dignify these guys with the use of their names, and we don't know the name of the officer that killed them. She said he wasn't violent and he wasn't a terrorist. Well, yeah, he was. He was violent and he was a terrorist, unless you're a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, I just love how these people's families defend their criminal behavior to the end. He wasn't like that. Well, he was like that, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's Clyde Barrow or a couple of ISIS fools, which they are, you know, the gang that couldn't shoot straight. The problem I fear with this particular story is that the Islamic State, whatever it is, whatever the structure is, whether it's one idiot from Minneapolis who is blogging and talking about egging these people on to attack people, or whether they're actually capable individuals, it creates a problem where these asymmetric potential attacks. And, you know, we had the same situation briefly at the University of Minnesota. Somebody put a poster up which contained an image of Muhammad about free speech. There were lots of complaints from Muslim students. The youth said take it down. Now they've reversed themselves. Institutions in this country, particularly colleges, really have trouble understanding unalienable rights like free speech. The bottom line for me is, and I'm not religious, but if Piss Christ is protected by free speech law, so is Charlie Hebdo. If pornography is protected by the First Amendment, then so is Charlie Hebdo. You know, by the way, there is a Minneapolis tie, so suddenly Minneapolis has made it into the, we're in the national news now, you know. So, unfortunately, this is infamy, not fame, but there is a social media guy who is from Minneapolis, apparently, who has exhorted these two toads to attack down in Texas and may exhort others. And I wonder, you know, since so many of these terrorists, if that's what you want to call them, are from Minneapolis and St. Paul, do you think that they'll attack in Minneapolis and St. Paul where they know they can kill their family or their friends? If there are targets within the United States, and this is serious, people are going to have to understand this is a real threat, as I've said and said for years, all the more reason to support citizens carrying weapons into these places. The best thing that we could do in Minnesota is take down those stupid signs that say, you know, hey, we don't allow guns on these premises. And most people don't pay any attention to them anyway. They need to take those signs down and put signs up that say, we wholeheartedly support carrying firearms legally in our place of business. And to support people's efforts to practice so they can hit what they shoot at should they have to. The Second Amendment protects the First Amendment if the government won't, can't, or is unable to. But in the situation in Texas, clearly, this is an example of the government protecting our unalienable rights to free speech. Okay, so how do you feel about free trade? And this is a serious question. This is one of those things that usually split so-called conservatives. If it is in stadiums, you know, I'll never forget the guy where I was at some event, and we were talking, and he was like, "Well, what do you do?" And I was telling him, and he said as though I care. Well, I'm a conservative. And he said, "But I support the stadium." This is when they were arguing about building the Viking stadium. And I looked at him and I said, if you think you're a conservative and yet you support, you know, state funding for football stadiums, you're not a conservative. You're something else, but you're not a quote-unquote conservative. Free trade tends to split people on certain lines, and it's very interesting to me to hear Republicans say things like, well, they shipped our jobs overseas, or to hear that at Tea Party meetings, and clearly they're not Democrats saying that. Well, not quite. There are you know, instances where companies moved some kinds of manufacturing jobs overseas, but I would say that IT regulation and unions shipped your job overseas, not the companies. The companies are just vessels. They, if they could have kept the jobs in the United States, they would. By the way, with an increase in wages in China now, more and more companies are starting to move their production back to the markets. Certain kinds of things need to be made close to markets because sometimes shipping costs are more expensive than not. This is why Japanese cars and German cars are built in the United States as well as in other places, because you want to be close to the markets because the shipping is a huge cost for automobiles. Now, the Democrats are against the president, and Republicans are siding with him on something called Fast Track Authority for this Pacific Trade Pact. I'm against it. I'm against giving the president quote-unquote fast-track authority to negotiate this bill. And here's why. It isn't because I'm against free trade. It's because nobody knows what's in the bill. Apparently, the bill is under lock and key, or at least it was reported by, I believe, Breitbart. Only members of Congress, and at that, only members of Congress can view the actual bill one or two pages at a time, and they cannot take notes, which to me is not acceptable. This is, and it's really amazing to me, because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's complimenting the president on working with Congress to get this done, and he says it's going to happen. And the answer is no. No, you don't get authority on something we don't know the details of, Mitch. I don't understand what is wrong with these guys. This to me is just a big giant no exclamation point. F no, as my t-shirt says. This is another example of Obamacare all over again. Well, you have to pass it to see what's in it. Well, now we know what's in it, and, you know, it's a whole other smoke. So, no, I don't think that that we should pass this until everybody in this country can review this quote-unquote fast-track authority. The other thing is, quite honestly, I don't think we should give this president any kind of fast-track authority. I think he's abused his authority. And I think that giving him any kind of fast-track authority is ridiculous. But this shows you what happens when money comes into and is brought to bear in Congress. You know, my sense is that it's the unions that are really pushing people like Harry Reid to want to not pass this, and it's the corporations pushing Mitch McConnell to pass this. Certainly, I think trade barriers are dangerous, but these trade agreements have to be reviewed. We have to know what's in them, and we have to know the structure of these agreements in order to get some kind of consensus on it. You know, if this thing thing passes and he negotiates some bill that takes jobs away from Americans, quote unquote, you know, what are they going to say? Well, I didn't know it was in it because I didn't read it. Or I couldn't. It was in the basement at the Capitol, and I had to go down there. And I, you know, it's a long way from my office in the Cannon office building all the way over to the basement at the Capitol where they allow us to read these things. This is ridiculous. It ought to be printed in the New York Times, the entire thing. In fact, if the New York Times really wanted to be a great newspaper, or if the Star Tribune really wanted to be a great newspaper, or if Breitbart or any of these people wanted to be great outlets, they should find it, steal it, and post it so that we can all see what it says. To me, this is just another case of Obamacare all over again. Finally, you know, with presidential abuse of executive authority, if that's what's really going on, I think any question of granting the executive branch more authority is a mistake. We ought to wait and see and revisit whether or not, in fact, the executive branch has overstepped its authority, whether or not Congress is too. We need to, you know, this. We need to really get into this question of how much authority does the executive branch need, how much authority does the legislative branch need, and so forth, before we continue to grant the executive branch more authority. And speaking of the executive branch, I actually have in my desk several IRS stories, and usually I just throw them away because it seems almost passe to talk about the IRS, but I can't resist this. First of all, nobody likes the IRS unless you get audited and they find out that they owe you money. You know, then we like them, you know, and I'm sure they're nice people, and I'm sure that they're just regular, everyday Americans working there at the IRS. It's not the individuals who work at the IRS, it is the agency. I'm seeing these articles all over the place about how they didn't take 8 million calls during the tax season this year, and honestly, I don't care. I'm glad that they didn't take calls and answer questions. I don't know why you would even pay a tax preparer that has to call the IRS to ask them how to handle something. Supposedly, Texas businessmen, you see this story, they owe $3 billion. Ballyhooed by the Star Tribune, and I'm going to get to them in a second, but they forgot to mention that their hero, George Soros, who constantly rails against inequality and says that rich people should pay more taxes, owes $7 billion to the federal government. Or my favorite, you know, sleazy investor, Warren Buffett, who is always running around trying to be Mr. Regular Guy. And, oh, you know, my secretary pays more taxes than me. And, you know, meanwhile, he's pulling deals like InBev, and which merged with Budweiser, as well as what Tim Hortons merged with Burger King so that they could avoid paying taxes in the United States. It doesn't matter that the tax code is ridiculous. It doesn't matter that the corporate tax in this country is prohibitively high, and that I don't blame most companies for doing it, but I do blame George Soros and Warren Buffett, because both of them run around saying we should tax the rich, and then they run around and do whatever they can do to avoid paying taxes. They're, in fact, disingenuous. What else did Warren do this week? I should mention Warren Buffett this week also said, any company that hires an economist has one employee too many. Where's the barbecue? Let's go to Dairy Queen. Let's have a Coke. Hey, Charlie, let's have some good old homespun Omaha humor. Meanwhile, he's out, you know, I think the point was he was bitching and moaning about the fact that companies hire economists and they're a waste of time, when in fact somebody did an investigation and found out that two or three of his companies, BNSF in particular, employ economists. So once again, the hypocrisy never ends, especially among these guys like Warren Buffett, who claim to be friends of the people, but they're no different from Bono, who moved all of his corporate assets away from Ireland to avoid paying higher taxes. So anyway, where was I? I was talking about the IRS. I think the IRS is a terribly mismanaged, confused, and misdirected agency. Aside from the post office and Amtrak, the IRS is probably the poster child for incompetence in terms of our federal institutions and in the executive branch. It is a part of the Treasury Department. I don't know who runs it. I don't know what their problem is. You know, I did mention the tax code. I think that's a huge part of the problem at the IRS. It's probably almost impossible for them to manage the agency, considering the fact that the tax code is so complicated. Even the IRS doesn't understand it. It's something like, what is it, 84,000 pages long or something like that? Not to mention, as I said, the tax code being a difficult problem for the IRS in terms of competence. This week, they found a bunch of Lois Lerner's emails, the ones that they said they couldn't find ever. Well, they found them, and I'm wondering whether investigators will yet find the smoking gun that shows that, yes, indeed, Lois Lerner was, in fact, dispatched by someone in high authority, which in this case would be the Treasury Department or the White House, or both, to spy on and harass and make it impossible for tea parties to bring any kind of political pressure to bear during the 2012 election. Oh, no, we would never do that. We just would never do that. Trust us. IRS apologist in chief and one of my least favorite individuals, John Koskinen, who is arrogant. He is referred to as a turnaround specialist, says the IRS has taken significant actions to stop agents from targeting political groups. Well, why didn't they do that 10 years ago, 5 years ago? Why didn't they do that during the Johnson administration? Why didn't they do that during the Nixon administration? Why didn't they do that during the Clinton administration? Why do it now? It obviously is an admission that they've been doing this, that they've been targeting political groups using the IRS at the order of someone, probably the president, because this is what these people do to stay in power. The only way to really effectively prevent this is to scrap the tax code. And you do that by going to a flat tax for corporations and individuals with no deductions, no loopholes, and you get rid of the IRS as we know it, so that basically, John Koskinen and three or four other people can manage the whole thing, because people are going to be paying their taxes once a year. It's not going to be deducted from their pay. They're going to have to write a check so they can actually see what the government is costing them, and they're going to mail it in, whether it's corporations or individuals, and there will be no loopholes, period. It's a straight-up flat tax. You pay it, or you have your own problems. Right now, the IRS essentially is part of the Praetorian Guard of the White House. That's what it comes down to. It's part of the Emperor's Praetorian. And this is a select group of people who are supposed to be enforcing the laws, but really what they do is they protect the man in charge, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, and they really don't do anything other than that. They're not very good at collecting money, and they're not very good at helping people with their tax returns. And it's not their fault. It's the tax code's fault. Again, another example of the federal government trampling your rights instead of protecting your rights. And it's a key thing, because this is why we created the government. Originally, the colonists did not want a government. Once they threw off the yoke of the crown, they really didn't want a government. The Articles of Confederation was a disaster, so they finally said, well, okay. And they formed a republic with the express purpose of creating a government to protect our rights. This is the whole reason for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And when you see situations like the IRS, it's another example of how the government tramples our rights today as opposed to protecting our rights. Another one is regulations and rules and fencing off competition for rich businesses that contribute to congressional campaigns and so forth. And then you have these agencies in the federal government, which, again, they're part of the Praetorian. Ostensibly, it's not about protecting your right. It's about protecting you as a person. So do you like Christmas, right? Do you enjoy Christmas? Every year at Christmas, we enjoy chestnuts roasting on an open fire and gingerbread men and the smell of ginger in the kitchen. And what else is always eggnog? Isn't it great that I can talk about this now, but I can't seem to talk about it at Christmas? And the wonderful, warm feeling of family and love that just permeates the entire world around Christmas, right? Christmas trees and everything else. In neighborhoods all over this country, You see houses adorned with creative, beautiful, and amazing Christmas light displays. Okay, some of them aren't really beautiful, amazing, and creative. But then who cares? Sometimes it's just a plastic Santa with a light. Sometimes it's the classic, really cheap and badly done a picture. What are the inflatable Rudolph and the sleigh and Santa on the roof, and Uncle Frank climbs up on the roof and puts it up every year and risks his life, half drunk to put that stuff up, but who cares? Some of them, as I said, are creative and beautiful and amazing, but some of them aren't. Well, don't worry, the federal government is writing to the rescue. Now the Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued a regulation which determines holiday decorations and holiday decorations are a, quote, substantial product hazard. The ruling applies to stars, wreaths, candles without shades, light sculptures, blow molded plastic figures, and animated figures. Why? Well, there have been 258 deaths between 1980 and 2013, which is 33 years, which means 7 people a year are killed, by these displays. Santa, who is blow molded, somehow comes to life and chokes Uncle Frank to death, or Rudolph gets him all caught up so that he hangs himself on the edge of the gutter or something like that. And, while I was researching this, I thought, I'm going to look up accidents and find out what kinds of accidents actually kill people. And I learned a few things. Accidents of all types kill fewer people per year by a long shot than all kinds of diseases, with most of these being traffic accidents, not Santa, rising up and killing Uncle Frank. So what are the big ones? Falling objects, which could be anything. It could be, falling out of a window, a piano, something like that. Drowning, which happens, obviously not at Christmas unless you're in the pool at the club. Alcohol poisoning, which has I shouldn't say that has nothing to do with Christmas, but alcohol poisoning surprised me. Roller coasters. Should we outlaw roller coasters? Because occasionally people are killed on them. Diving, which I would think would be in there with drowning, but diving is extremely dangerous. Electrocution, and not necessarily from Christmas lights, by the way. Machinery. Machinery is one of those things that nearly kills people all the time. And let's not forget medical malpractice, which is probably one of the most dangerous things, because here's the thing. When you mention diseases, medical malpractice is not included in the diseases. And I wonder how many times, somebody goes in there because they have a problem, and it's a problem that could be dealt with diet or exercise, or a problem that can be dealt with in a different way, and some doctor operates on them, or somebody has gastric constriction surgery or whatever that's called, where they tie your stomach and it ends up killing them. Those kinds of things. Poison gas is a big one, which kind of surprises me because I didn't realize that. Mitch was over the other night, and I have a big container of vinegar, which I hate vinegar, okay? I hate the smell of vinegar, and I just hate it. But vinegar has two uses at the podcast bunker. It has two uses. One, if you mix bacon grease with sugar and vinegar, it makes a really good salad dressing. Bacon grease is just great no matter what you do. Bacon grease is the thing that makes everything good. There is nothing that you can't make that if you add bacon or bacon grease to it, bacon fat of any kind, it will taste so much better. It's better than butter. But anyway, the other use is if you live in I don't know whether it's the whole Minneapolis St. Paul area or my town, but I used to have a tea kettle. Then I bought one of those ceramic camp type percolators, but the water around here is so hard that it leaves these calcium deposits on it and just ruins. I've had more than one tea. I had a Bialetta that was ruined by those calcium deposits. I had, ruined my ceramic thing completely. And then I had a tea kettle that was just completely ruined because of those calcium deposits. And I don't want to be drinking that. I don't want to cook my coffee water in that stuff because I don't want that. I don't know what it is, and I don't like it. So I had purchased not too long ago a bunch of these all-clad cookware. I love my all-clad cookware. It's great stuff. And the reason is aluminum all-clad cookware. I've told this story many times. I got it at Costco for like unbelievably cheap. But and I checked it because it's a, you know, it's fairly high quality. And what's great about it is you don't really need to cook. You don't need to use a lot of heat. Just a little bit of heat will fry an egg or will, you know, saute spinach or something. So you don't need a lot of heat in those at all. You got to be careful to use plastic utensils with them because you can scratch them very easily. But one of the things that I do now is I use one of the pots to boil my water for coffee every day, and actually twice a day. And those, I don't want those calcium deposits to ruin my pot. So what I do is I pour the vinegar in there and it takes that right off. So every time you use it, there will be a film of that stuff, and you got to get it because after it builds up, even you can buy stuff that cleans it, but it doesn't work very well. So vinegar actually does a great job cleaning that stuff. I also understand that vinegar is a great aluminum cleaner for aluminum stuff. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I've got this vinegar. And Mitch was over, and I also have a giant container of ammonia. And Mitch was over, we were doing some work on the BobDavisPodcast.com the other night and the Blog Talk Radio feed, which, by the way, is up to date finally. And he goes, well, you can't put vinegar and ammonia together. And I said, no, it's vinegar and chlorine. You know, you can't put Clorox and ammonia together because it will cause a reaction and it will kill you. And it's very common. So poison gas apparently kills. That was a long detour. Poison gas apparently kills a lot of people. Of course, firearms, and not firearms through homicide, but firearms or suicide, but firearms through accidents, suffocation, fire of all kinds, motor vehicle accidents, of course, and then falls. And while I am sure Christmas lights are possibly a factor in a couple of those areas, stupidity is probably an even greater factor in most of these mistakes, and you can't outlaw stupid. How many times have you done something stupid and lived? I have done a lot of stupid things and lived, and a lot of times it's just common sense. If you are not a handyman, it's probably you need to be really, really careful doing handyman stuff, because if you aren't handy with machinery or aren't handy with hammers and saws and things like that, to me those things are like firearms. I avoid that stuff like the plague because it's really, really dangerous. And you know, how many times have you bashed your head or something to that effect? What about Sheryl Sandberg's husband who apparently died because he slipped on a treadmill and hit his head? I mean, freak accidents. This stuff happens all the time. Are they going to outlaw treadmills? Are they going to regulate these things because somebody made a mistake? Not because he was stupid. He just made a stupid mistake and unfortunately died. It's a terrible thing. And by the way, the Tribune was right away. They had to claim the hometown boy made good thing with the guy who was killed, who was the executive from Minneapolis. And you know what? It is unfortunate. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm actually making light of the fact that it doesn't matter what you've done, whether you're a terrorist or you're a great software person, the Tribune will claim you, if you're from Minneapolis and St. Paul, as hometown boy made good. Because they just cannot resist that. Anyway, that was just a terrible freak accident that happened to that guy. And it happens all the time. People do that all the time. And that they're going to regulate this stuff now drives me crazy. By the way, I should mention this. Are Halloween displays going to be regulated? Because if we're going to regulate Christmas, then we're going to have to regulate Halloween. What about menorahs that people light candles and the candles aren't protected, in their homes? What about those? Are those going to be regulated? God only knows what will happen there. And by the way, apparently solar power displays are exempt. So it really makes you wonder who wrote this law. So big government's zeal to protect us from ourselves ends up putting us literally in a prison, whether we're in prison or not. So those are some great examples of how we have been protected, as well as examples of how we are continually having our rights contravened by people who are just trying to help us. We're just trying to help you. Please don't help me. Just leave me alone. Speaking of things I don't understand, plumbing, water heaters, things of that nature, and plumbing emergencies, as well as getting ready for the global warming summer, which means you got to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Check your AC. Call this number, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. Your AC may be working, but it may be costing you more, so they can come out, check it, and make sure that you're efficient and save you some money. Check the filters, check the coils, and so forth. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, 651-224-4771. And in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go all over the metro on both sides of the river. So don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And I want to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts, Mad K Studios, specializing in quality original automotive artwork. I've explained what it is. Don't forget, they're going to be at a lot of these antique car shows, and Ken is supposed to send me some info. But if you click on the Mad K Studio banner, which is the really cool car, it takes you to their Facebook page, and you can find out where they are. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, especially iTunes, or TuneIn, which is just another way to distribute podcasts to various devices. For example, Stitcher works really well with Android devices. iTunes, of course, works great with iPhones. TuneIn is one of those services that works on both. And don't forget Blog Talk Radio. There's actually a little widget on the page that connects you to Blog Talk Radio, and it will just play the latest podcast that we've uploaded on Blog Talk Radio, another way to listen to the podcasts. And of course, thanks for liking on Facebook and sharing and favoriting and looking at my pictures on Instagram and following me on Twitter. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, I started up the mobile podcast command unit 8 today. Drove out to ex-government cars to pick up the license plates. And it was all I could do to keep myself from loading up and heading out again. In order to do that, we need donations for diesel fuel, because the diesel fuel fund is starting to kind of percolate downward after the long trip. So thanks for your donations for that. As soon as we get enough money for diesel fuel, I'm heading out again. Maybe I'll go to Washington or to cover the next big story. So stay tuned on that front. And thank you again for listening, sharing, favoriting. Thanks for listening to the podcast on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 365. You.